चंद्रमा अर्घ भावस्थित्या उपारिषद और उपारिषद लक्ष्य योजनता उपलभ्यमान रिखश्य संवत्सर भुक्ति पक्षाभ्यम पक्षाभ्यम मास मुक्ति सुपदार शभ्यम दिने नैव पक्ष भुक्ति अग्रचारी द्रुतकार Dhrutara Gamano Bhukte. Translation. Above the rays of the sunshine, by a distance of 100,000 yojanas, 800,000 miles, is the moon, which travels at a speed faster than that of the sun. In two lunar fortnights, the moon travels through the equivalent of a samvatsara of the sun. In 2 1/4 days, it passes through a month of the sun. And then one day it passes through a fortnight of the sun. Purport. When we take into account that the moon is 100,000 yojanas, or 800,000 miles above the rays of the sunshine, it is very surprising that the modern excursions to the moon could be possible. Since the moon is so distant, how space vehicles could go there is a doubtful mystery. Modern scientific calculations are subject to one change after another, and therefore they are uncertain. We have to accept the calculations of the Vedic literature. These Vedic calculations are studied. The astronomical calculations made long ago and recorded in Vedic literatures are correct even now. Whether the Vedic calculations of modern ones are better may remain a mystery for others. But as far as we are concerned, we accept the Vedic calculations to be correct. So this principle that is being made here in the purport is very important, most important for spiritual life. If this point is understood, actually spiritual life flourishes. And if we don't, then it becomes a little slow, or even in astrological terminology, retrograde. It means it goes backwards. That what the guru, sadhu, and shastra, these all must be seen together. And then from this, then we can establish what is truth. Because they all match. What the guru says, what the sadhu says, what the shastra says, that we accept. So the constant feature here is the shastra is always giving, establishing the principles and the details. The acharyas then give us how to apply those details in our life. And the sadhus support that, what the acharyas say. So in this way we have a very nice picture. So we don't see that the acharya says something different than the shastra, or the sadhu says something different from acharya and shastra. So the shastra is very steady here. Rabba says the word uses the word constant. No, steady, yes. They're fixed. Sanskrit is nishta, means fixed. So they don't change. While our modern ideas, they change. Because the material world is practically unlimited. Of course, we know that it is a small fraction of a portion of Krishna's creation, but it is practically unlimited in its variation. Now, depending upon where you're looking at it from, you will see things differently. What angle you're looking at, then you'll see things differently. You measure things differently, you'll value things differently. Depends upon what you're doing. Otherwise, how do you end up with so many opinions? So this can all be reconciled if we have the same opinion, means that of the Shastra. And not only that of the Shastra, but we have to have the central opinion of the transcendental philosophy. Then the Shastra also, we see, attains its perfectional platform. Means if it is a transcendental literature, like Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, that platform is already there. It is the central measure by which all the other Vedic literatures are gauged. And then around that, then you can attach on so many knowledge that you perceive. You see it's hot out or it's cold out, like this. That has to be connected then to the scriptures and to the transcendental philosophy. So if one can do this, then one can advance very nicely in spiritual life. One will not become bewildered. Otherwise, we see our perception may look like one thing, but the reality may be something else. And one scripture says one thing, another scripture says another. So how do we balance that? That's balanced by the transcendental philosophy. So here Srila Prabhupada's making a very important point, is that the Bhagavatam is saying these things about the sun and the moon, and how it's traveling twice as fast. It's going around, it's doing its complete circle much quicker than the sun. It does whatever the sun does. In 1 month. In other words, it moves 360 degrees in 1 month. Well, the sun takes a year to move 360 degrees. So this aspect we must accept from here. So the point is, as Prabhupada says, that others may say other things. Fine, let them say. But we accept the scriptures. You may go by what you can see, what you can perceive, but you have to be able to balance that with what the Shastra says and what the Acharyas say. So if what I see is different than what the Shastras say, then we may have to adjust our vision, or we may have to adjust that what we're looking at. But the Shastra is the constant steady principle. And if we have that determination, that faith, then one can make spiritual advancement. Because the point is it is Krishna's opinion that matters. And the scriptures give us Krishna's opinion. Because in the spiritual realm, everybody is simply interested in what does Krishna want. What pleases Krishna, that is what they want to do. If it doesn't please Krishna, they're not interested in it at all. If it's connection to Krishna, they're interested. If it's not connected, they're not interested. So here in this material world, we get to practice that by Shastra says it, because it's coming from Krishna, Guru is saying it, the Acharyas are saying it. Then I accept that. That is of interest. And if they don't say it, I have no interest in it at all. That is the practice. That is the principle. So this principle of having that firm faith and conviction, then everything is revealed. When one has full faith in Guru and Krishna, then all the imports of the Vedic knowledge are revealed. Is that the Tasya Devi? Karava? Tasya Devi? Tata Devi, Tata Gurau, Tasyaite, Katita Hyarta, Prakashante, Mahatmana. So all these are revealed. This is a very important point. If one does not have that faith, nothing is revealed. It's as simple as that. We may gain lots of knowledge, but we won't understand it. We think we understand it, but we won't understand it. Why? Because we cannot balance. Realization means you can balance Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And if you can't balance, that means we're just going on the knowledge. So it's very important. Because Krishna himself is unlimited. So the different ways that we can approach him, his different moods, different applications of what he gives, has so much difference. Like Krishna says in the Shastra, bones are contaminated. But he also says, conscious pure. So Krishna's arranged it like that. We have to accept. We can't say, no, well, you said all bones are contaminated, so the conscience must be contaminated. It's only logical, right? Logical is very important. Or, the conscience pure, all bones must be pure. No, but Krishna has his way, he likes to do things. Because there's a taste and there's a rule, and there's an exception. That gives a flavor. Right? It's like a chutney. Salty go with salty things, sweet go with sweet things. Right? You can mix salty and pungent, you know? But here in a chutney, we mix them all. So it's an exception. And that gives a very nice added flavor to the meal. You couldn't sit down and just eat chutney, you'd kill yourself. But in the whole meal, it adds a particular flavor, because it's a contradiction. You have sweet, you have salty, and you have pungent, all together. And also sour. It's all contradictions. Salty, sweet are contradictions. Right? Sweet and hot. And then sour and sweet. All these on their own don't match. But you mix it, it's very nice. So in the same way, Krishna does so many nice things that he establishes. There's the general principles. And then sometimes he makes these exceptions. And these exceptions give the flavor. Now if someone doesn't like to follow the rules, that is also a taste. That's called the asura. Doesn't like to follow. He gets the taste. These are the rules I don't follow. And see, I'm still alive, I'm still prospering. Just see my opulence. Right? And then you have the opposite, someone who just into the rules and regulations, and they get a taste there, but it becomes a little dry. Because there's no exceptions. Right? So therefore, only when there's realization, then we can put together this combination of rules are there, but sometimes in certain situations, those rules don't apply. Otherwise, you will be stuck with either not caring for the rules or totally absorbed in the rules, but not knowing why they work or not knowing why we don't want to follow. So it's very important, this principle. And this principle is only obtained when we have this faith that Prabhupada talks about. As far as we are concerned, we accept the Shastra. Others may say other things, say what they like. Today they're saying this, tomorrow they say something else. They're so convinced today, but tomorrow they'll be convinced of something totally different. Like that. So it doesn't, what they say doesn't make any sense. Today I have X amount of facts. I base my opinion on those facts. It seems to fit nicely. If I bring one more fact tomorrow, I can throw the whole thing off. So modern science either changes their theory or doesn't accept obvious facts that you can see right in front of your eyes. If you say, here is God, prove it, let us see it with our eyes. Okay, here's some facts that don't agree with what you say. Oh, we don't accept those. In other words, the demoniac mentality does not accept authority. Without accepting authority, there's no standard. And if there's no standard, the mind is not peaceful. The mind is not peaceful, there's no happiness. So the demons like to keep the mind disturbed. Because in that disturbed condition, we can speculate. We can change our views from moment to moment. And in this way, try to get some enjoyment. Now, in line with this point, we see Thakur Bhakti Vinod, that he was very fixed in what the scriptures said, what the acharyas have said.
Krishna Das.
The acharyas, they have heard from the Lord and have written the different scriptures based on the Bhagavatam. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur had full faith in this. Now if you look around, basically other than Bhaktivinoda Thakur and probably a handful of other devotees in Navadvip and Vrindavan, you would not see what the scriptures or the acharyas talked about. There was not the practice of pure devotional service. The so-called Vaishnavas and the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the so-called Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they were all hypocrites. Everything they did was absorbed in duality. The outside looked like one thing, inside was something totally different. So if you went by what you saw, you would say the whole thing's useless. Right? You have practically anyone who says that they are practicing Gaudiya Vaishnavism is following it in a bogus way. So now if we want to take the modern thought, we will say it's useless, can't be done in this age, right? Bhaktivinoda was, 150 years ago, like that, 100 years ago. So one could say, except for him, Jagannath Das Babaji, few others, no one can follow. So in this age it's not possible. It's Kali Yuga. We can't follow this. We can't establish Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy and culture. We can't establish Varnashram. All these things are meant for a previous age, Yuga. Right? One could say. Because nobody's following. Who is following? You had tons of these upper sampradayas, all sahajiyas and all these owl bowel and Garanga Nagaris, and the list goes on. All nonsense rascals. And what they were doing was absolutely disgusting. Right? Absolutely disgusting. And so Bhaktivinoda, like everybody else, means all the gentlemen, all the intellectuals of Calcutta, and this who cared about these things, those who lived in the towns, they said, this Gaudiya Vaishnavism is for the birds. Useless. Nonsense. It's just for a bunch of beggars. They dress up in their saffron cloth, go out with their women begging, and it's just a way to make a living, you know? Like that. You know, it's like, why don't you go get a job? So this was the mood. They had no interest in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Not in the least. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he looked at the situation. He could have, like them, also said, yes, it's not possible. We should all put on our three-piece suits, right? And just do what the British do, like that. Okay, we add in a little devotion. Follow the British culture. Follow the British knowledge, systems of knowledge, and everything else, social development and economic development. And just follow them. And we have our philosophy, we chant little Hare Krishna, okay, little some flowers for Krishna, bas, that's all, if that's your sentiment. Otherwise, whatever is your sentiment, doesn't matter. Right? You can follow anything. He could easily think like that, because that's what everybody else, and who are intelligent, who are the leaders of society, who are logical, educated, they all thought this. He could also think this. But did he think this? No. If he had thought this, guaranteed, none of us would be sitting here today. This whole preaching movement would not have spread all over the world if he had thought this. So So because he didn't think this, he also liked this point that Prabhupada makes. But as far as we are concerned, we accept the Vedic calculations to be correct. So as far as he was concerned, the Shastras, the Guru, the Sadhus, they were correct. And all this bogus nonsense going on was not correct. So now, what to do? Now, if we accept the Shastras, we don't throw it out, saying, oh, it's not applied now, it doesn't apply to us, you know, we're city people, we're modern, you know, we're educated, we can't follow all this stuff. Let's make some adjustments. A new culture for us. We're special, we're unique. We need something different. We're not like the Goswamis, live under a tree. So he took what the scriptures said, and he brought the light. What is the actual meaning, what they're saying? The scriptures are not saying, go out and take a piece of rag from the ground, put it on, and then say you're a big Goswami. They don't say that. They say that whatever you're doing, do it for Krishna. Right? Engage all your activities in Krishna's service. Right? Understand that all knowledge has its foundation in the Bhagavatam. All activities have their foundation, proper foundation in the Bhagavatam. All etiquette, anything has its foundation in the Bhagavatam. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur started to preach the Srimad Bhagavatam. But he was very clever. He didn't just go to the intellectuals and say, you're all rascals for not accepting Gaudiya Vaishnavism, because they'll look around and go, where? Where is it? We don't see it. We see a bunch of sahajis. If you say that's Gaudiya Vaishnavism, then we're not interested. But he took the philosophy and he said, let us have a look at this. The modern philosophers were coming up with all their ideas, and they were taking different paths of Vedic, non-Vedic, mixed Western and Vedic, Vedic and Christian, Vedic and Islam, Vedic and this, Vedic and that, and mixing it all up. So he would start from their point, listen to what they had to say, say, make some, that's a good point there. And then from that, he would elaborate on that point. But how would he elaborate? By establishing the Bhagavatam. And he would bring all these intellectuals to understanding that Gaudiya Vaishnavism is bona fide, it is proper. Just what you see going on nowadays is not the proper culture. So he started his magazine. Is it? That was Vaishnava Toshin. He started his magazine to preach the proper philosophy. He started Sabhas, again re-established Vishnu Vaishnava Raja Sabha, to get devotees to come together and properly practice devotional service. And this is his great contribution, because he had the faith that what Lord Chaitanya spoke, what Krishna spoke, what Vyasadeva wrote, what the Goswamis wrote is correct. 100%. If you don't follow it properly, you get the wrong result. I give you a recipe. Say, follow this, you'll get a nice result. You take the recipe, don't follow it, you get a bad result. Now can I blame the recipe? No. If you follow the recipe properly, there'll be no problem. We may have to educate ourselves. That is the thing. We ourselves may have to become educated, may have to become qualified, may have to endeavor for this perfection. Then we will get the result that the acharyas talk about. If not, then we can have the modern viewpoint. But one should understand the modern viewpoint is not unique to today. Whatever point in time people are, they take that as the modern viewpoint. The same conviction that the people today, the scientists and the socialists, all the different people, the psychiatrists, what they say today, that this is the thing. In the past they had other ideas. The same mentality exactly was tasted by people 100 years ago at the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Same was tasted, if you go back, to the Renaissance. The same was case any time. I think whatever's happening today is where it's at. Why? Because I'm here today and I'm where it's at. So the process of Krishna consciousness is making Krishna the center. And what Krishna has to say is the center. His knowledge is activity. Not what we think and our logic and how we identify ourselves. Krishna is so kind, we can dovetail that in the service, but we have to make Krishna the center of all that. Krishna the center of our consciousness, Krishna the center of our ego, Krishna the center of our intellect, Krishna the center of our mind, Krishna the center of our senses, of our body, our activities. Then it becomes perfect. Otherwise, you can see many times what somebody might say today about, oh, Varnashram doesn't work, this doesn't work, that doesn't work. They were saying it 150 years ago. It's nothing new. And not only that, they were saying it in light of overwhelming odds. Here you have thousands and thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people who are following the process properly. Need some minor adjustment. Before you had people, nobody following it. And they were saying the same thing, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur turned it around. So if the instructions of Bhaktivinoda Thakur can turn it around, surely the instructions of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, who are taking it even more, being more obvious. Bhaktivinoda, how he preached, an intellectual could grab it and take something from it. Or someone who's very trained in the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. But it wasn't obvious. Right? Just on the surface. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur made it obvious. He was known as Nisringa Guru. He would go out and just, here it is. Bhaktivinoda would start from your place and bring you to his place. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, this is what the Shastra says. That's it. You like it, then you're a devotee. You don't like it, you're a demon. And then Prabhupada brings that so that the Western mind can handle it because the ego is so big. Previous times, Indians would have strong ego, but that's because up to now, that's what they've come up with. I used my logic. I came up with this result. I want a result. I'm result-oriented. I've used my logic by these facts, I've come up with this result. If you can show me different facts and show me a different result, I'll accept it, because I want a result. Right? Modern consciousness is not necessarily, means today, is less fault. It's not result-oriented. Right? It's self-centered oriented. What I think, what I want. So you can show me facts and figures, logic, argument, I won't accept it because it's different from what I think. I'm just kidding. Right? Before, you would see Lord Chaitanya preach to Prakashananda Saraswati or to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. They accepted. One, that is the qualification of the preacher. Because he can present it in a way that that person could understand it. But two, it is the qualification of that person, because once they understood it, they surrendered. Well, nowadays, we don't see. You defeat someone in argument, they don't accept. Because themselves is more important than the actual knowledge. Just they enjoy arguing on the mental platform, or intellectual platform. But they're not looking for an answer. So we have to see. So Prabhupada, adjusting with that, then took the same approach, that chopping technique of preaching, but did it in such a way that the Western mind, which doesn't accept the Vedic literatures, could accept. And so we see that brings us to today. Now we think that everything's rotten and cannot be fixed, then we're in the wrong movement. Because this movement will go on, whether we're here or not. Whether we want to follow or not. Lord Chaitanya's mission, the plan of the Acharyas, Krishna's instruction in Gita, the instruction of the Bhagavatam, will be established for 10,000 years. We're being given an opportunity to take part. And if we take part, we are benefited, and the glory goes to us. Krishna is so kind. And if we don't want to take part, then the show will go on, and we'll be in the material world, and maybe in a future time, we'll get another chance. It means once in a day of Brahma, right? The show rolls around, and we can take part. Maybe a long wait, but one could say it's worth waiting for. The same time is, since we're here now, we should take advantage. And have this conviction that Prabhupada talks about, that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also preached, and that Bhaktivinoda Thakur based his whole preaching mood on. The scriptures are right, the acharyas are right, even though we don't see any trace of it happening around us, we will work to establish it. And that was the unique contribution of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of just showing in overwhelming odds to establish the proper Siddhanta. He did it. And he got the intelligent people of India to accept. And he instructed Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur now to take it to the next platform. And then Srila Prabhupada brought it to the present platform. So now we can assist in expanding it beyond, or we can also fall into the same trap of the modern scholars and gentlemen back at the time of Bhaktivinoda and think, well, I don't see it. I don't see brahmacharis acting as brahmacharis, sannyasis as sannyasis, grihasthas as grihasthas, gurus as gurus, managers as managers. It's all rotten, throw it out, bring in some modern ideas. We can also take that. It is an option that is there. And thousands of people have taken it in the past. It's not necessarily they got a good result. Right? It means the gentlemen of Calcutta who didn't follow Bhaktivinoda, they continued with their modern ideas. So we can take that path. But if we want to go back to Godhead, then that's another thing. Then we have to endeavor for the same conviction that is manifest by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Then we will be successful. Then we will be happy. So, at this point, we will stop for any questions or comments or anything. No? Yes.
Can we
improve the situation by following Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Of course. That is why the Acharyas come, to set the example. See, they're going against overwhelming odds. We're not. He's starting with nothing. We're starting with so much. In fact, it's all been done for us. The training is there, the books are there. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, just to establish, now he wants to write down the Siddhanta of the Gaudiya Vaishnavism, what Lord Chaitanya said. It took him 6 years to find the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Right? 6 years. Only after he found one, then he could write his commentary. We don't have to do any of that. All we have to do is go and pick up one of Prabhupada's books. Everything's already done. So we just have to take it, follow it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had to prove that mangoes existed. Everybody says, no mangoes. We see so many trees, there's no mangoes here. He had to go and find. Bring some. Plant those seeds. Let everyone taste that it's nice. Plant the seeds. Try to grow the tree. Right? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came and told everyone, hey, come here, here's a tree, mangoes, eat. You know? And Prabhupada has taken the mangoes off the tree, peeled them nicely, taken out the seed, put them on a nice plate, make it a nice arrangement. All we have to do is sit down and eat. But still, modern man has difficulty. Because modern man is so intelligent. All we have to do is follow what he says. And if it's not going right, then who's wrong? Right? Bhaktivinoda Thakur, against all odds, no example, nothing, he established. He accepted it. Yes, this is correct. We have so much here, we simply have to make some minor adjustments in our life to create a balance. Minor adjustments. Because details are minor, principles are major. Make those adjustments, that's it. Then everything becomes very nice. So it can be done very easily. If it can't be done, the acharyas wouldn't have bothered. Point is we go back to Godhead because we assist the acharyas. They can save the whole world. Prabhupada mentioned that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur could have saved the whole world. He went from zero, he could have gone to the point the whole planet being saved. But he said he very kindly left something for us to do. So any of the acharyas could have saved the whole world, already established everything. But then what would we do? Right? We have so many desires, especially now, so much passion and ignorance. We have to engage that. Right? So we're happy running around and doing this and doing that and so many things, because we have that passion. So we're engaging that in Krishna's service. He's left that for us to do. Otherwise, if everything was all done, all we had to do was come and sit down under one of these trees here and chant Hare Krishna all day, and that's it. It would be very difficult for us. Where we can get in vehicles, run all over the place, go by this, go by that, manage this, manage that, then we have something to do. Right? Therefore, they leave something for us, and we can engage our activities. Does that make any sense? So we just have to accept it. And if there's something wrong, then we must study. Prabhupada said, study his books. Right? Read is one thing. Study is not. Study means you understand why it's working. Means read means, oh, Prabhupada says here, the moon moves twice as fast as the sun. Study means understand how that all, what does that mean? Implications, how it applies to me, what is its function? That's study. So that means we haven't studied. Because we haven't studied, there's no realization. No realization, we can't apply it. That'll come with this faith. Faith that Prabhupada says this, Krishna says that, if I follow it, it will work. Then Krishna reveals what is missing. And if we don't, well, maybe there's something, Bhagavatam 5,000 years ago, or okay, 500 years ago, then, you know, now it's different, this, that. Krishna's not going to reveal anything. Krishna says, you want to worship the demigods? He gives you faith in worshiping the demigods. Demigods can't give faith. So we don't have faith in Krishna. Krishna will give us faith in whatever it is. We want to put it in some modern theories. Krishna himself will personally give us the faith in those theories. But understanding what Krishna wants and applying it, that we may not get so easily. So the point is as we see, also example of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had that faith and that conviction in the pure Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy and culture. But he applied it according to the time and circumstance. Nothing was watered down, nothing was compromised. No principle was altered. details you adjust for the time and the circumstance. And as the circumstance becomes more favorable, you come more to the tradition. You make adjustments. And the less it is, you maintain the principle and do the best you can. So we see, that's what he would do. Right? In the beginning, when there were no devotees around, he sat down with all these intellectual mayavadis and that, and talked with them all day. And discussed their philosophies and slowly brought them around to Krishna consciousness. But as time went, where he had these groups, societies of devotees, then he would spend his time there. He wouldn't sit around Calcutta with the intellectuals. That's someone else can do. The others can do that now. As the standards go up, then we raise the standards. You move forward. But you have a principle, you have a goal, you have faith in that, you get somewhere. No conviction, no direction. There's no conviction, there's no direction. Cannot be direction. Not at least a permanent direction, a fixed direction. So it can be done. Otherwise Prabhupada wouldn't have gone through all this endeavor to write all this. Why would he waste his time? Why would Krishna have him waste his time doing all these books if it wasn't correct and couldn't be followed? Therefore, we have to adjust our life and the situation around us in such a way that we come close to the standard that we can follow this. Then it's perfection. Okay? The balance is in the middle, not at one of two ends. The pendulum is over here. You correct the situation by coming to the middle. And that's done by the Shastra. Guru, Sadhu, Shastra control the mind. Give a standard, that's the middle. Otherwise, it's on this side, on the right. Then how far is the right? You can naturally just swing to the left. And then after being on the left, it'll swing back to the right, swing back to the left, swing back to the right. And then you just sit there and count how many times it'll swing before it finally comes to the middle. Right? So you can follow that, or just take it from where it is and move it towards the middle. It has to swing through the middle to get to the other side. Pendulum swing means you have to go through the middle, the balance. So when you get there, you stop. In other words, it's progress to that, rather than you just shoot out the other side. Then things work, but this is called maturity. This is called educating oneself. This is called dedicating yourself. This is called having conviction. This means the onus does come back to me as an individual. I as an individual have to make the decision that I'm going back to Godhead and nothing else can stop this. Right? That's what is example in the Bhagavatam. Prahlad Maharaj, demon father, demon friends, demon teachers, demon society, he makes a conviction, I'm going back to Godhead. Right? One may say, well, that's pretty severe. That's pretty severe. But the point is we're not in that situation. We have a nice society, we have so many things like that. Our situation is much better. No one's asking us to do like a lot more. The principle, yes. The detail, no. So the principle that Bhaktivinoda Thakur set of that conviction, that we must accept 100%. The detail of having to fight against the whole world to reestablish Krishna consciousness, that we don't have to do. We simply just, in our own way, push on a little bit. And it's very nice. That makes some sense. Anything else? Who? What? Someone has to know what they're supposed to do. Some are doing, some are not doing. So those who are doing should help train those who are not doing. Because if you're doing means you understand the process, and you should help train the others. But one should understand that that ability to train is coming from Krishna. Don't think, yes, I'm going to now teach everybody. Right? If we understand and then feel that we're in a better position means those who are below you, you must have compassion for them. You must train. And it works. Okay, we will end here. Jai Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Jai Govardhan.